The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
At that time, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was hungry. The tempter approached and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread." He said in reply, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and made him stand on the parapet of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Then the devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their magnificence. And he said to him, "All these I shall give to you if you will prostrate yourself and worship me." At this, Jesus said to him, "Get away, Satan. It is written, the Lord your God shall you worship, and him alone shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. The Gospel of the Lord. Have you ever wondered why did God put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden? I mean, it messed up everything. Why did God do that? Well, to help us understand this, we have to remember that the story of creation, the story of Adam and Eve, is a fictional story, inspired by the Holy Spirit to teach us who God is, who we are, and what kind of relationship God wants with us, and why there is suffering and pain and death in the world. Now, because this is a fictional story, that doesn't mean the whole Bible is fiction. The Bible is a collection of books written over hundreds of years by different people using different styles of writing. There is some fiction stories, but then there is some historical stories, there is some poem, there's some songs, there's some prophecies, and Abraham and Moses and David and Jesus and John the Baptist and the apostles, all of these are real people, they're not fictional. But there is some parts of the Bible that God speaks to us through a story so that people can understand what he's trying to teach us. So what is God trying to teach us in this, the story of creation? And that's important for us to know it's a fictional story, because today many of our young people say, "Well, look, we know the world wasn't created this way, so how can you believe in the Bible?" The Bible is not a science book. Again, it's a book of faith. It's a book about God's relationship with his people. But the story is given to us so we can know who God is. God uses the story to reveal to us who he is. So what we learn from this story is, first, God created the whole universe. How? It could be Big Bang Theory. It could be another theory we discover. That's not the point. But it started with God. And everything God created through this whole process was good. That's why, if you remember the story, after each day we read or we hear, it said, "And God saw how good it was." Well, God was not like patting himself on the back. "Look, I did a good job, you know, creating light and the sun and the moon." It's to help us know, to emphasize to us that all creation is good, and we are the stewards of that creation. So we got to make sure we take care of it because it is good. And we are good because God created us, as we heard in today's first reading. And he breathed in us his spirit. The reason God creates is because God is love, and the nature of love, it leads to life. Because if that love is just kept to us, that's not perfect love, that's more selfish love. Love always leads to life. And that's what God created, because he is love. And everything God created is good. But then, okay, if God is good and God is love and everything God created is good and we are good, why is there evil in the world? So God uses the story of Adam and Eve and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil to explain that to us. See, if the tree was not in the garden, then Adam and Eve had no choice but to love God. The nature of love, it cannot be forced on others. If you love someone and you go kidnap them and put them in the best, most beautiful house that ever existed and they can't get out, that's not love. That's sick love. God had to give us the choice, the free will, how to respond to his love, whether to accept his love and respond back by loving God, falling in love with God, or by refusing that love, or else we wouldn't have a choice. And that's what that tree represents. It's the way that Adam and Eve, the human race, can say no to God's love. Why would we say no? Because we're tempted by the created things that God created rather than the creator. We choose created things. We choose things of this world. We choose money. We choose power. We choose belongings and, you know, homes and whatever it is over the one who created everything. And he created it for us. Because we choose to do our will rather than doing God's will. We believe that we have better wisdom, better knowledge than what God wants for us. We choose things of this world over God because we don't trust God's love for us. And that's what the devil tries to plant in our hearts and minds, the seeds of doubt. As we see with Jesus, the first two times the devil starts by saying, if you are the Son of God, are you? How sure are you? Because before going to the desert, Jesus goes to be baptized, and the skies open, the heavens open, and he hears God's voice saying, you are my beloved Son. And the way that the devil can stop Jesus from doing what God wants for Jesus to do is by making him doubt, are you truly God's Son? Then why are you in this desert and you're hungry? With Adam and Eve, the devil said, look, you know, the tree is beautiful, the fruit is beautiful, it's good for you. You could be like God and know good from evil. You don't need God to tell you. Just eat it. It's nothing good, wrong about that. It's nothing bad about it. But the problem is, what's wrong about it is they disobeyed God. They believed the devil over God. And Jesus reversed that temptation. He did not fall to the temptations of the devil, although he was hungry, although he knew he has the power to do whatever he wanted to. But he trusted in God's word, and that's why every time Jesus goes back and says, it is written, well, it is written because it's God's word. God said, you don't live on bread alone. God said, don't tempt the Lord your God. God said, don't serve any other gods but the Lord God. He trusted in the words of God. It's really an issue of obedience or disobedience that goes back to trust. How much do you trust God? And no, not but oh yeah, I trust God. But look at your life, look at different times in your life, especially when you were like in a desert situation, in a difficult situation. Did you really trust God by doing what God would tell us to do in those difficult situations? Or you've chosen the easiest path? Just like the devil's telling Jesus, well, I'll give you all of this if you worship me. He's telling him, you don't have to accept the cross. I'll give it to you the easy way. Just worship me. A lot of times we avoid the crosses because we know that's the right thing to do, but we don't trust God. We don't trust, like, at the end when we're told angels came and ministered to Jesus, that God will never leave us alone in those situations. He'll send us what we need, whether it's through other people, through other things. But God does not abandon us because we're in the desert. He's with us, and we need to trust in him. As we begin this Lenten season, we're supposed to kind of witness or go through the experience of Jesus going through the desert. It's not about not eating or giving up certain things. It's about that after Jesus went through that experience, he came out trusting more in God, that he left behind his carpenter shop, left behind his mother, and decided to do what God wanted him to be, to do, to become the savior of the world and accept the cross, embrace the cross. That's what Lent meant, supposed for us, meant to be. How can we grow in trusting God? Where am I not trusting God? What areas of my life? Because in some areas we trust God, but sometimes we don't. And to grow in love, whether loving God or loving our neighbor, we need to grow in trust. We need to believe and trust that God wants what's best for us, that he loves us so much, that he died for us on the cross. Why would he want us to do something that will hurt us, or why would he will something for us that would hurt us? God will never do that, but we have to trust him. Just as Jesus trusted him even when he was hanging on the cross. That's the purpose of Lent, not to give up, you know, meat or candy or chocolate or write an extra check. Is how am I growing in my relationship with Jesus? Because the more I trust God, the more I love God and love my neighbor. But if I don't trust God, then I'm going to be like Adam and Eve, wanting what I can get my hands on, wanting to get as much of this world that I can gather, thinking that's going to give me the security, give me the happiness, give me the joy, give me whatever that I'm seeking. We still choose what God created over the creator, God. Lent is meant for us to begin to turn around, to change our focus, to turn to the one who created everything, because obviously he can give us whatever we want, and he offers this to us. But to trust that we will acquire it only if we follow the way of Jesus, the way that God has shown us, the way of love. So maybe today or this week, think about what is it that keeps you from trusting God? Look at your life experiences. What are the temptations that you have to go through that decrease that trust in God? How can you grow in that trust? Jesus obviously gives us a very straightforward way. He keeps quoting the scriptures. Do you know the scriptures? Do you know the word of God, that you can respond using the word of God? A simple thing you can do for Lent is begin to read the Bible, begin to read the word of God to see really who is this God? How does he show that he loves me? How does he show, how should I respond to this love? Don't take somebody else's word on it. Go to the source, God's word, the Bible, and read it, reflect on it, pray about it. Asking the Lord to help you, that at the end of this Lenten journey, you're going to come out from this experience trusting God more and living that trust through your love. Love for God and love for your neighbor.